This is VOA News. Reporting via remote, I'm Jeff Custer. Russia's military Thursday continued its siege on the last pocket of resistance in the southeastern port city of Mariupol, as well as pressing its offensive in eastern Ukraine. Ukraine's military says, meanwhile, it recaptured some towns and villages in the country's northeast, but acknowledged that Russian forces have seen partial success further south in the eastern industrial heartland of the Donbas region. Finland, meanwhile, has announced that it is in favor of rapidly applying for NATO membership, creating an historic expansion for the alliance and a serious blow to Russia. Associated Press correspondent Karen Shamas reports.
The dramatic move means that Finland is all but certain to join NATO, with just a few steps left before the application process can begin. Finland's Foreign Minister, Pekka Haavisto, has said Russia's invasion of Ukraine has become a serious concern.
Unpredictable behavior of Russia is an imminent issue.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said it's understandable that Finland would want to join NATO at this time.
When you look at what Russia has done in Ukraine, everybody's now thinking about their own security.
Finnish public opinion is now at 70% in favour of joining NATO. Helsinki resident Elina Lahti believes Finland needs to feel protected in the current environment.
We are so small country, so we won't be able to do all these defence by ourselves, so we need to be member of the NATO.
I'm Karen Chamas.
Finland officials say the nation, with its 280,000 wartime defense forces and 900,000 trained reserve troops, would add strength to the NATO alliance. The Kremlin Thursday called Finland's decision a direct threat to Russia. This is VOA News. U.S. President Joe Biden is co-hosting the second global summit on COVID-19 Thursday as the United States marks what he calls a tragic milestone. Associated Press correspondent Mike Hempen has more.
The president will convene a second virtual summit on the pandemic and mark 1 million deaths in the United States. The U.S. hasn't actually reached that figure, but it's close. The CDC puts the U.S. death toll at 995,000. In a statement released this morning, Biden says, as a nation, we must not grow numb to such sorrow. He says we must remain vigilant against this pandemic and do everything we can to save as many lives as possible. The president wants Congress to provide more funding for testing, vaccines, and treatments, something lawmakers have been unwilling to do. Mike Hemp in Washington.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released data this week showing the U.S. firearm homicide rate spiked 35% in 2020, the first full year of the COVID-19 pandemic, rising to the highest level in almost three decades of record-keeping. The agency reported 19,350 firearm homicides in the U.S. in 2020, compared with 18,253 in 1993, the first year for which the Bureau of Justice statistics data are available, although the per capita death toll was higher that year. Gun homicides increased across every age group and ethnicity, as well in rural, suburban, and metropolitan areas. The increase was disproportionately felt among by non-Hispanic black males between the ages of 10 and 44, however. Rates of firearm homicide were higher at higher poverty levels, where they also showed larger increases. The CDC also reported 24,245 cases of suicide by gun in 2020, a 1.4% rise over the previous year. New data shows Indonesia and Malaysia, once among the world's annual leaders in lost forest lands, each lost less primary forests in 2020 than the previous year for the fifth year in a row. The U.S.-based World Resources Institute, or WRI, released its latest figures on global forest losses last month and called the Southeast Asian countries welcome exceptions in what has otherwise been a yet another bleak year for forests worldwide. WRI and others warn that a host of mounting forces could start pushing forest losses in both countries up again in coming years. According to WRI, Indonesia lost about 203,000 hectares of primary forest land last year, down from 270,000 hectares the year before, and well below its peak of 929,000 hectares in 2016. Repeating this hour's top news story, Russian military Thursday continued its siege on the last pocket of resistance in the southeast.